Welcome, everyone. Today, we're taking a look at a really fascinating area, one that I think gets misunderstood, maybe oversimplified a lot.
Definitely.
When you think about something like recovery from addiction, the common idea is pretty black and white, right?
Yeah.
You're using or you're not.
That's the usual take, yeah.
But the material we're looking at today, it really challenges that, pushes back on how simple we think it is.
It does, in some quite profound ways.
So yeah, we're exploring recovery and relapse, specifically through the lens of Narcotics Anonymous, or NA.
Mm-hmm.
Our mission, let's say, is to really try and grasp what genuine recovery means, according to them, why maybe a setback isn't always, you know, game over, and how this community approach they have offers a path that might surprise you.
It's a unique perspective.
It really is. Sometimes the simplest sounding ideas, they have the most complex stuff going on underneath. Like trying to figure out why my digital calendar keeps reminding me about meetings finished an hour ago. Just saying.
Ha, right. And that's exactly why this particular source material coming directly from NA is so valuable. It's a view forged from decades of direct lived experience, real observation within their fellowship.
Makes sense.
So our goal here is to pull out the core ideas from this specific document, help you understand how NA looks at recovery, relapse, right from their foundational perspective.
Okay, let's dive in. The common view, the simple one, is basically recovery equals not using drugs, period.
Right. Stop using your recovery.
And relapse. That scene is just, well, complete failure. While, you know, staying abstinent for ages means total success.
The win condition, supposedly.
But this document, it flat out says this perception is too simplistic. That's pretty bold.
It is bold. And NA offers a much more nuanced view, almost revolutionary, really, when it comes to relapse.
How so?
They suggest that, okay, after someone's been involved with NA for a bit, a relapse can actually be a, how do they put it? A jarring experience that brings about a more rigorous application of the program.
Jarring. So like a wake-up call.
Exactly. And sometimes it can even lay the groundwork for complete freedom, which sounds completely backwards, right?
Yeah, it really does.
But then there's the other side. They've seen members who stay abstinent, maybe for years, but their dishonesty and self-deceit still prevent them from enjoying complete recovery and acceptance within society.
Wow. So just not using isn't the whole picture.
Not at all. Abstinence alone isn't full recovery in their view. However, and this is really important, they stress that complete and continuous abstinence in close association and identification with others in NA groups is still the best ground for growth.
Okay, let's unpack this a bit. So it's not just about not doing something, the using,
right?
But it's very much about what you were doing,
yeah,
and who you're doing it with. This community aspect seems key.
Absolutely key. It's active, it's relational.
And the idea that a stumble, a relapse, could actually move things forward,
yeah,
that feels like it turns failure completely on its head. How did they even arrive at that? Mm. Does the source talk about, like, individual differences? Not everyone's the same, surely.
Well, yeah, it does. Their insight comes from just watching, observing thousands of people over decades. They saw that while, yeah, most people see relapse as a total failure.
Right.
Sometimes that really painful experience forces someone to engage with the program way more deeply, more honestly than before.
Huh?
Yeah. That might expose some self-deception or maybe resentments that were kind of lurking under the surface, undermining things.
But clears the decks, in a way.
Could be, and the document is clear. While all addicts are basically the same in kind, sharing those core addiction traits they do as individuals differ in degree of sickness and rate of recovery.
Right, so different paths.
Exactly, different paths, different paces. For some, maybe it is that grim and obstinate willfulness to hang on to abstinence that gets them through a rough patch.
Just holding on.
Yeah. But for others, a relapse, as awful as it is, might be the thing that shatters illusions and actually builds that groundwork for, you know, a stronger recovery later, because it forced a level of honesty that wasn't there before.
That makes sense. So if recovery is that nuanced, what does NA say is the actual core problem? Addiction itself. And what's the moment things start to shift, the turning point?
Good question. The document defines addiction using two really powerful words, obsession and compulsion.
Obsession and compulsion.
Obsession is that fixed idea that takes us back time and time again to our particular drug or some substitute to recapture the ease and comfort we once knew. It's that mental loop.
The thought you can't shake.
Right. And compulsion, that's once having started the process with one fix, one pill, or one drink, we cannot stop through our own power of will.
You can't stop it once it starts.
Exactly. They link this to a physical sensitivity to drugs, a biological part leaving the person completely in the grip of a destructive power greater than ourselves.
That sounds terrifying, actually.
Yeah.
Like being completely trapped.
It is. Caught between the thought you can't stop and the action you can't control.
And the source presents a really stark choice for someone in that cycle, doesn't it?
It's
basically.
Yeah, it's grim. Jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live.
Wow. Find a new way or else.
That stark reality is often the catalyst, you see. And the turning point, according to the document. It happens when an addict can lose, even for a time, the need or desire to use and has free choice over impulsive thinking and compulsive action.
Lose the need or desire.
Yeah.
Even for a bit.
Uh-huh. That moment of freedom, of choice returning, the document says this may be the decisive factor in their recovery. It's about getting back that that agency, regaining the ability to choose, even if it's just briefly at first.
The obsession lifts, the compulsion can be resisted.
For a moment, yeah. That's the opening.
Okay, but here's where it gets really interesting for me. The source talks about achieving, you know, true independence and freedom, feeling free.
Right, which is the goal.
But then it says this freedom sort of hangs at times in the balance.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from dependence on a power greater than ourselves and from the giving and receiving of help from others and acts of empathy. Mm-hmm. Dependence leading to independence. How
yeah.
does that work? That sounds like a total paradox.
It is a paradox, and it's absolutely central to how NA understands recovery.
Okay.
True freedom, true independence and recovery, they're saying, isn't found through just isolating yourself or relying only on your own willpower, which is often what addiction kind of forces on you anyway.
Yeah, cutting yourself off.
Instead, freedom comes from embracing a new, healthy kind of dependence.
Healthy dependence. Like what?
Well, connecting with a higher power, and they're very clear this is spiritual, not necessarily religious. It's up to the individual to define.
Okay.
And also dependence on the community, on other people in recovery. Through those acts of empathy, both giving help and, just as importantly, receiving it.
It's a mutual support.
Exactly. It's through that connection, that give and take, that the real chains of addiction start to loosen and a new kind of sustainable independence can actually grow. It's acknowledging we can't do it all alone, especially not something this huge.
That's a powerful reframe. So, okay, someone hits that turning point. They're engaging with this healthy interdependence.
Yeah.
But it's still not smooth sailing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The document mentions old bugaboos, resistance.
Well, yeah, definitely not smooth sailing. The source is very honest about the challenges during recovery. These old bugaboos can creep back in.
Like what kind of things?
Well, life can start to feel meaningless, monotonous, and boring again. That's a big one. Because that feeling might be what the addiction was trying to numb in the first place.
Void returns.
Kind of. And members might tire mentally in repeating our new ideas and tire physically in our new activities. You know, the new routine gets old.
Yeah, I can see that. The motivation dips.
Right. And there's always that background awareness. If we do not use what we have, we will lose what we have. That need for vigilance.
Constant effort.
But here's the really interesting part. The source says these times of struggle, the boredom, the fatigue, the apathy, these are often the periods of our greatest growth.
The tough times are growth times.
Apparently so. It suggests that it's in those moments that the dynamic forces of change or true conversion deep within may be working to give us the answers that alter our inner motivations and change our lives.
So even when you're doing all the quote unquote right things, your brain can still whisper, this is boring.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like my internal monologue trying to get me to pick chips over kale every time.
Huh. Yeah, that resistance is real. And the source points to two of our seemingly inherent enemies. Apathy and procrastination.
Apathy and procrastination.
The classics.
Seems so. It suggests that our resistance to change seems built in, like it's our factory setting or something.
Default mode. Resist change.
Pretty much. And because this resistance is so deep, the document makes a pretty extreme claim. It says that often only a nuclear blast of some kind will bring about any alteration or initiate another course of action.
Whoa, a nuclear blast, seriously.
That's the term they use. It signifies a massive shock.
What counts as a nuclear blast in this context? Well, it could be, quite literally, a relapse if we survive it. Or maybe the death of someone close to us. Something deeply shaking.
A major life event. Traumatic, even.
Yes. A demolition process, they call it. Something necessary to shatter complacency and awaken us to the necessity for vigorous personal action. It strips away the denial, the self-deceit.
Forces you to confront things head on.
Exactly. Especially if someone's kind of been coasting or not being fully honest with themselves.
Wow. A nuclear blast.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, my morning coffee feels a bit inadequate for jumpstarting change. This whole philosophy, it's so distinct. It must have quite an origin story. How did NA even start? What makes their approach so unique?
It does have a specific origin. NA was founded back in 1953. It grew out of Alcoholics Anonymous, AA.
Okay, so it has roots in AA.
Yes. Early members found help in AA, identified with the alcoholics there, but they realized something was missing for them as addicts using other drugs.
A deeper connection was needed.
Kind of. They could identify with the alcoholic in AA on the surface level, the apparent symptoms, you know, the craving, obsession, compulsion. We talked about those.
Right.
But they felt the real healing for all addicted people happened at the deeper level of emotions or feelings where empathy becomes a healing therapy.
Empathy. There's that word again.
It's crucial. This need for really deep, specific identification, that powerful empathy, led them to form NA in July 1953. The goal was to provide as much identification as each needed to convince himself that he could stay clean by the example of others who had found recovery.
Seeing people like you succeed.
Exactly. Creating an atmosphere through that wordless language of recognition, belief, and faith, which we call empathy, that was seen as key.
That sounds incredibly powerful. Human connection at its core.
Mm.
And I remember reading their approach to meetings was different too. They believed in openly scheduled meetings, no more hiding. That sounds pretty radical for the 1950s.
It was absolutely radical then. A total departure.
How so?
Well, it differed from all other methods tried before by those who advocated long withdrawal from society. You know, sending people away for treatment, isolating them.
Right, the old sanatorium model almost?
Kind of. NA believed the opposite. The sooner the addict could face his problem in everyday living, just that much faster would he become a real productive citizen.
Face life head on from the start.
Yeah. Their thinking was, eventually you have to stand on our own feet and face life on its own terms, so why not from the start?
That took guts. Were there downsides?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Especially early on. The source is honest. Many relapsed and many were lost completely. It wasn't easy.
But some made it.
Crucially, yes. Many stayed and some came back after their setback. And the strength now, they say, is that many have long terms of complete abstinence and are better able to help the newcomer. They are guided by the spiritual values of our steps and traditions.
So this whole approach, community, empathy, facing life, redefining relapse, if it works, if people truly recover this way.
Yeah.
What does that say about that old, tired idea about addiction, the one society held on to for so long?
It says it's wrong. As the source puts it very powerfully. Now, we know that the time has come when that tired old lie, once an addict, always an addict, will no longer be tolerated by either society or the addict himself. We do recover.
We do recover. That's quite a statement.
It's defiant, it's hopeful, and they present it as based on decades of experience. It challenges all that old fatalism.
Wow. What an incredible look at this topic.
Mm.
It really shows recovery is so much more than just stopping drug use. It's complex. It's ongoing.
A process, not just an event.
Yeah, a process.
Yeah.
And setbacks aren't necessarily the end, maybe even catalysts. Mm. And it's all rooted in community, in that interdependence, not just toughing it out alone, that we do recover messages. Well, it's powerful, not just for addiction maybe, but for any kind of big change.
Absolutely. And this document really underscores how challenging fundamental personal change is. That built-in resistance we all seem to have, and the surprising, sometimes jarring, ways we get shocked into a new perspective.
Definitely food for thought.
So maybe for you listening, think about this. How might that idea of needing a nuclear blast, a big jolt to overcome apathy or procrastination, how might that apply in your life? Where do you feel stuck?
Hmm.
What kinds of maybe jarring experiences or deep empathic connections have pushed your own growth forward, even if it's completely outside the context of addiction we discussed today?
Great questions to ponder. Thank you for joining us for this particular look at such a crucial topic. We really hope you reflect on some of these insights. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, keep growing.